This WBEZ podcast is supported by Hacia, whose Executive Fellows Program provides Black and Latinx business owners with real-world tools and strategies needed to master fundamental management concepts related to company stability and growth. Registrants learn through one-on-one executive coaching sessions with subject matter experts in the areas of finance, business development, operations, and legal. More info at haciaworks.org.
WBEZ is supported by Chicago Humanities, presenting live events with historians Doris Kearns Goodwin and John Meacham, comedian Reggie Watts and filmmaker Miranda July, and artists Hebrew Brantley and Amanda Williams in conversation, plus MSNBC chief correspondent Ali Velshi on small yet powerful acts of courage throughout history. Tickets for these events and more conversations on arts, culture, and current affairs at chicagohumanities.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. While O'Hare Airport's Terminal 3 is set to get a makeover, the mayor's plans for adding a global terminal and satellite concourses are hitting some snags. But two of Mayor Johnson's other financial priorities have cleared the city council. That's borrowing $1.25 billion for housing and development and using $70 million in reserves to support migrants. We checked in with Tessa Weinberg, city government and politics reporter for WBEZ, and she starts with what's changing at O'Hare's Terminal 3.
Lots of officials from the federal level, from city level, were putting shovels in ground and posing with photos to celebrate this new federal funding that they've gotten that's going to help overhaul this terminal. They say they're going to reconfigure two TSA checkpoints into a single screening area, reconfigured baggage claim, adding 10,000, square feet for new concessions and amenities. Mm. So lots of, kind of different upgrades.
Sounds like they want to widen the concourse, too, because it is kind of tight over there.
Yeah, so lots of different, structural upgrades that they say this is going to help, revamp, modernize this aging terminal. And the construction is expected to begin this spring, last over just over 3 years. And it's funded in part by this $90 million in federal funding that the airport received to help achieve this. And a couple hundred million that it's going to cost in total.
It's going to cost, that's for sure. Now, the city has also been planning to overhaul Terminal 2. Mm-hmm. For a new global terminal. Now, this is since 2018. So what's taking so long?
Yeah. So this, like you said, it dates back to this 2018 plan. It was first, proposed by former Mayor Rahm Emanuel to really overhaul O'Hare, to modernize it. And so among those pitches as part of that proposal is this new, global terminal where they would revamp Terminal 2, and it would allow then travelers to seamlessly, go between domestic and international flights, which would be...
What a dream.
Deal. And it would also create these new satellite concourses that would be increasing gate capacity. But when this was announced, costs were, $8.5 billion at the time. And, since then, costs have only continued to grow. Mm-hmm. And so the airlines have been pushing back on that higher price tag, since they would be footing a lot of the bill. And so the project's behind schedule, but the city has been trying to reach a compromise and has recently put forward some proposals.
Jeez, 6 years in the making and counting. Well, Mayor Johnson proposed some major changes to the order of construction of the project, right?
Right.
So what's the latest with that?
Yeah, so, Chicago Tribune, the Sun-Times, they've both been reporting on the city's proposal to basically change the order of operations for construction to focus first on this global terminal and then these two satellite concourses. And the city has also proposed cutting some, costs on the project where it can. But this resequencing was something that U.S. Senator Dick Durbin initially, strongly opposed in an op-ed last month. And he was saying by resequencing this, it was really going to benefit the airlines first before customers, since a bulk of that increase is going to come from the satellite concourses.
Right.
And he, in his op-ed wrote, if United and American Airlines had it their way, they would delay the satellite terminals and build only the part of the project that benefits them and doesn't increase competition. Mm. But then yesterday at this, event, where they're celebrating this funding, he said conversations on this expansion and this compromise has moved in the right direction, and he's more on board now. So we'll see where things go. The airlines are still reviewing, and Senator Tammy Duckworth said they have till early next month. So
this might be good for the mayor that he's now, the senator's now on board, because I mean, Mayor Johnson's adamant that these satellite concourses will be built. I was curious though if there was a chance that they might be dropped because of budget concerns.
Yeah, you know, I think we'll have to see where airlines kind of what they come back with, if they're going to accept this plan or if they're going to continue to propose tweaks. But like you said, the mayor's administration has been adamant, even if they're delayed, they're going to get built.
Mm-hmm. Well, last week when you were on the program, we talked about Mayor Johnson's plan to borrow $1.25 billion. This was for housing and development. Mm-hmm. Remind us, Tessa, what we know about the plan and how he actually wants to spend that money.
Yeah, so this is Mayor Johnson's really kind of signature first big development proposal he's put forward. And so it pitches, you know, this $1.25 billion borrowing plan that relies on the expiration of tax increment financing districts to cover the costs. And the funding then would be split evenly over the course of the first 5 years between the city's housing department and Department of Planning and Development to do all kinds of things like supporting small businesses, supporting the construction of affordable housing, mm-hmm. To support home ownership. And so really the whole goal is ultimately affordable housing and economic development.
Now, according to the mayor's plan, projects that are above $5 million are going to require the city council's approval. Alders narrowly beat attempts by Brendan Riley and Raymond Lopez to significantly lower the threshold for, mm-hmm. for city council approval. Why are some alders worried that this $5 million threshold is just too high?
Yeah, so there was lots of contentious debate before it was ultimately approved of alderpersons calling for more transparency. You know, Alderman Bill Conway was one of those folks who repeatedly throughout last week kept trying to, he wanted to reduce the overall bond amount, which was resoundingly defeated, mm-hmm. and then also try to lower this threshold. And as he put it, he really thinks the city should walk before it runs on this plan. It's, you know, a massive plan. It is a lot of money. And he, you know, wanted to, he was stressing that alderpersons are elected only for these 4-year terms. And that this plan, you know, the revenue it would bring in, but also the debt it would incur is really going to stretch for decades. And so why don't we make this smaller and have more oversight to just, you know, the next maybe several years. But despite some of these additional transparency measures, you know, that had been included, like this threshold, like posting things on a website publicly, coming before the city council more, it wasn't enough. But alderpersons ultimately did defeat those attempts to lower the threshold and give city council more say. And, you know, afterwards at his post-city council press conference, Mayor Johnson said, you know, agreeing to the $5 million threshold was transparent, that he was coming to the table with that.
Interesting. Well, the city council did approve the mayor's borrowing plan. So what's next?
Yeah, so bonds have to be issued, but both the Housing and Planning and Development Commissioner said that, you know, they already have some projects in the pipeline that are, you know, in the application stages or requesting funds that they think could benefit from this funding. And so they want to move as soon as possible. So we'll see, you know, when maybe the first projects will start to actually come forward that could benefit from this funding.
Now, something else on the agenda. City Council also approved the mayor's $70 million request to help the city shelter migrants. Mm-hmm. Fill us in on how this funding would be used.
Yeah, so this $70 million would be pulling $70 million from city reserves to go toward the city's costs supporting migrants, you know, to house, feed, shelter folks. And the city says this is going to help the city get through the end of the calendar year, that they don't anticipate having to come back to city council once again to approve funding. But it was, you know, a very tense and kind of bitter, honestly, debate at city council. I think we've seen this issue often have very heated emotional debates.
Yeah, but the Black Caucus was frustrated.
Yeah, so that was something where we saw longstanding concerns raised of several alderpersons saying, where is the funding in turn for my community, my disinvested community that's long had needs that haven't been met? You know, in particular, Alderman Desmond Yancey, who represents South Shore in that area, mm-hmm. it's the neighborhood that has, you know, the most evictions in the whole county, was really pretty vocal. You know, one of his quotes he said was, while the city was able to tap into the rainy day fund to come up with $70 million to bring the migrants inside, Black folks are left standing outside in the rain again. Mm. And he was calling on Mayor Johnson to put the same amount of money he's put toward supporting migrants, toward, you know, the Black community and Black neighborhoods. And he said, you know, was calling on Johnson to no longer put Black Chicago on the back burner. And so there was some really, you know, heated feelings that were going around. And we saw some of the Black caucus members, you know, ultimately vote against that funding, but it was approved.
The city and the state are planning to combine Chicago's legacy homeless shelter system with that system for migrants. So how would that work? What's the overview that you've learned so far about the plan?
Yeah, so it sounds like the plan's still very much in its early stages. Okay. City council members were given some kind of, some of this was shared previously with city council at a hearing. And so to fill folks in, so migrants have really been sheltered in really, you know, a separate almost shelter system than the city's traditional homeless shelter. We've seen, you know, vacant buildings, park district facilities used. But, you know, this has all been outside, really, of the city's existing homeless infrastructure. And so the idea is to, you know, ultimately combine these systems into one so they wouldn't be separate. Things are still, you know, very much in early phases. But, you know, rather than having these maybe two systems that sometimes maybe are competing for resources, mm-hmm. that this would all be one unified system.
Interesting. This one system initiative, will it change how migrant support is funded in the future?
Yeah, I think we would see a shift then. The state officials told the Chicago Tribune in a recent story that this initiative would then shift the workforce mm-hmm. for this permanent one unified system to nonprofits primarily, which I think would get the city away from those expensive staffing firms that they've used to staff migrant shelters right. and that have sometimes received complaints from migrants as well when it comes to treatment. So I think that is one way where it would shift that model. And perhaps then we would see funding requests for simply just this one whole system rather than seeing, as we've seen for city council, periodically the city and the mayor having to come back to alderpersons to say, we need, you know, this much more to actually support the migrant mission. Mm-hmm. So,
well, before you go, Tessa, let's switch gears here. The Board of Ethics found that 4 lobbyists improperly donated to Mayor Johnson's political committee. So help us understand what happened there.
Yeah, so this all kind of, you know, stems under a 2011 executive order that former Mayor Rahm Emanuel had signed on his very first day in office to bar lobbyists from contributing to a mayor's political action committee, their campaign. And the Board of Ethics recently found that 4 lobbyists, they had probable cause that 4 lobbyists had improperly donated to Mayor Johnson's political committee. But when it came to actually enforcing this, they found they couldn't. They went and asked for an outside legal opinion, and that legal opinion decided that actually, because this enforcement authority is not outlined in statute, in law, that the board doesn't actually have the authority to actually enforce this executive order for more than a decade. They, on paper, on the books, have been tasked with enforcing.
Right.
And so they had to drop these 4 cases against the lobbyists, and it's something that the Board of Ethics says they've actually never been confronted with this. This is the first time since 2011 they've had to try and enforce this.
Yeah, it said it can't actually enforce Mayor Emanuel's 2011 executive order that bars the lobbyists from contributing to the political committee.
Yeah, and so that's something that, you know, I think surprised some folks to learn this. And, you know, Alderperson Matt Martin, who chairs the City Council's Ethics Committee, says it's something, you know, that's a priority for him to try to work on this, whether that's passing an ordinance that makes it clear the board has this authority or if that's going to be through some other means, and that he wants to address this. You know, one lobbyist who had his case dismissed for improperly donating kind of pointed the finger back at the mayor saying, you know what, if they had found me, you know, in trouble that I improperly did this, he's like, that would be unjust because the mayor accepted these contributions. They have all since been returned.
Oh, okay.
And Mayor Johnson said, you know, it's something that he will take a look at.
We'll leave it there for now. Tessa Weinberg is a city government and politics reporter here at WBEZ. Thank you for the updates,
Tessa. Thanks for having me.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Ellie Gilbert Bear, edited by Maha Ahmed, and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. We get updates from City Hall every week, so make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss the latest news from the 5th floor. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you so much for listening.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.